Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Go.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Oh yeah! Happy New Year, everyone! New Year's Eve, actually, on this edition of Hockey Talk. That's right, friends. It's your good friend Patrick O'Dowd. It's your good friend David Ungar here on the ChairShot Radio Network, bringing you another edition of Hockey Talk as a part of the ChairShot Radio Network here on thechairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
And just like we gave you a beautiful Christmas Eve episode where Dave couldn't remember that Hanukkah started the next day, we are now giving you a beautiful New Year's Eve edition of Hockey Talk. David Ungar's dogs approved. They were very excited when we hit record. Let us know what was up. But Dave, how were your holidays, my friend? Did you have, like, I know we got one holiday to go, New Year's Day. But how was the Christmas Hanukkah Kwanzaa season for you, my friend?
It was good. It was kind of a little quiet. We just did, you know, we had a few people at the house, barbecued a couple tri-tips and some steaks, and everybody else brought over the other stuff. And my son hadn't seen a couple of movies that you and I know highly recommend. So we sat down and he got a chance to watch 8-Bit Christmas. And a Christmas Story Christmas. So he hadn't seen either of those.
Now, what did he think of, like, I know you, like, I liked A Christmas Story Christmas, but, like, I didn't rewatch it, whereas 8-Bit has been appointment Christmas viewing for me now every year. What did your son think of 8-Bit Christmas?
Oh, he liked it. He liked both of them. I think he probably preferred A Christmas Story Christmas a touch more, just because familiarity with the characters and just kind of the setting. And I, you know, he appreciated how, you know, Ralphie's obituary to his old man actually becomes the lead into the original movie.
So it was a nice movie.
And he appreciated 8-Bit Christmas, how, you know, they tease the whole way. It's like we've talked about it many times. It's a merging of A Christmas Story and Princess Bride with the storytelling mechanic. And you never, despite all the Christmas Story teases, it never plays out like that. It comes to the edge and then it always diverts you. But he liked both of them.
Well, what's really interesting about those two movies that you specifically made, like 8-Bit Christmas, while the quest to get a Nintendo Entertainment System is the what's going on in the story that's being told, you know, at the end, you come to understand that the story is really not about the Nintendo. It's about the story of the character and his relationship with his father. And so it's a terrific, like, I love that story. It's so great. And when you get to the very end and he's like, no, I had to caddy for an entire summer and earn it with my tips. But, you know, that wasn't ever the point. And what's fun is, What's interesting is when I rewatched it today, and this is true about some of these, there's some great new-ish Christmas films out there, folks, on like Netflix and HBO Max or Max, that are worth the time and to add to your rotation. I talk about the movie Claws all the time on Netflix over on Bandwagon Nerds. But the other thing, there's things that I've noticed upon every rewatch of 8-Bit Christmas that I didn't catch the first time. And one of the ones that I can't believe I missed for the multiple years that I've watched this is that this is the first Christmas without his dad. And it took me, because it's very subtle at the very beginning when they talk about, when he's talking to his daughter about whether or not it's going to be strange, right? And she's like, well, is it going to be strange for you? I never caught it. And then this time, because kids, spoiler, his father is dead. His father has passed away. And so it's talking about his relationship with him. Really changes, again, just kind of changes how you watch that movie then after that. Well, and you really think about it. It's so good.
And the thing is, so well done. Both movies are really about a son's relationship with his dad, right? Because Ralphie's got to deal with
and that's what I was getting at, by the way. Yeah, sorry.
The old man dies at the beginning of this, and then it falls upon Ralphie to bring Christmas home. And through all the trials and tribulations and just insane shit that happens along the way. Yeah, I think 8-Bit Christmas is definitely the better movie. I think it resonates with people like me and you. Differently because we grew up in that era, and when Nintendo
we were children of the 80s.
Yeah, and if you weren't, you know, like the whole thing, like, oh yeah, we always wore helmets in the 80s. Is it cracks me up? But like my son's watching it, I could tell he's not really grasping that, because in his mind, as a 20-year-old man, oh yeah, everybody's always worn helmets riding bicycles. That's just what you do. And it's like, no, it wasn't always that way.
No, man. All kinds of stuff, just think about today, those kids just run off on their own and do whatever they want in a suburb of Chicago. And in this world of play dates and closely monitored, it's so interesting to me, because I don't know about you and your neighborhoods, but there's not a lot of free roaming children I see around in the summer. A lot of times just kids on bikes, that used to be a thing, just kids on bikes everywhere. And that when I think there's so many things about the 80s, Christmas, the Cabbage Patch doll craze.
Yeah.
That thing was out. That was so real. People got seriously violent over Cabbage Patch dolls. And it was bonkers.
Now, like you're saying, when we were kids, the world was different. I mean, I'm not saying it was any less scary, because there were scary people out there. You didn't hear about it as much. But yeah, everybody just was always outside doing stuff, going from place to place. A lot more. Yeah, I mean, parents just didn't have the restraints, because I think, you know, if there were a bunch of sick people out there, they hit it better than they do nowadays.
It's so interesting to see how the world has changed. And that is not Dave and Patrick saying that the 80s were a better place.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we are not advocating that you just
don't put your torches and your pitchforks forks away. We are not saying that, but we are part of that last generation of latchkey children that kind of had their way with doing whatever. And it's just like that movie, 8-Bit Christmas, where, you know, when he's describing his childhood and his daughter is like, wait, you didn't do this, but you did this. And there was something else. There's something else where she's like, did you clean? He was like, did you wash your hands or something? And he was like, oh yeah, totally. And
there's
a lot
of stuff that
it's such great stuff. And the Nintendo hysteria was real. Almost up there. It was the same thing. As a kid who played Dungeons and Dragons, I had the double whammy of video games will rot your brain and you're secretly worshiping Satan because you're playing Dungeons and Dragons. And Tom Hanks, I'm looking at you. You made a really shitty movie that turned into an after school special that people thought D&D players were detaching from reality and going into sewers and killing people. Whatever.
And cannot forget
that means it's got Oscars.
The awesome failure of the power glove. That they nailed that perfectly.
They got that so, so right. All right. Well, hey, we didn't really talk a lot of hockey last week. Well, I wanted to really do a deep dive into talking about the college football playoff, which it was funny when I mentioned it, you know, when we do our promo during Bandwagon Nerds, it was like, oh, we talked, you know, I really wanted to talk college football playoff. Tony's like applauding. Because we didn't get to do that preview the way we wanted to. And this is my favorite. There are various favorite sports times of the year, Dave. The period between Christmas and New Year's Day for sports is one of the best. You've got the final pieces of the NFL playoff puzzle coming into shape. You've got the NHL. The Winter Classic is today, as of this recording, is happening tonight or this afternoon on Kayfabe Tuesday between the Blues and the Blackhawks. And as much as I'm sour on this matchup and these two teams and how bad they are, like, there's still something kind of cool about seeing old Wrigley Field done up as a hockey rink in a hockey game. And then it's college football bowl season as well. And, you know, we're not going to go into the same sort of dive we did last week, but, you know, again, the quarterfinals of the college football playoffs start Tuesday night with Penn State going up against, who are they? Boise State, right? Is that who the matchup is? I want to say, State, Boise State in the Fiesta Bowl. They're the Tuesday night game, the capper of bowl week of bowl New Year's Eve bowl day. Before we get into the New Year's Day matchups, Arizona State and Texas. That's right. Arizona State and Texas, Notre Dame and Georgia is the nightcap. And then the best, in my opinion, the best matchup, the rematch between Ohio State and Oregon in the Rose Bowl, which I know it's not the Pac-12 anymore, but is there a more Rose Bowl matchup than Ohio State and Oregon, given where they are in their conference? You know, the only way this would be better is if USC was more relevant and it was Ohio State and USC in the Rose Bowl, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I think we talked about it last week, how it is an old school Rose Bowl matchup. It is, you know, the old Pac-12 versus the traditional Big Ten. It is, you know, a match I'm sure that they've probably played in the Rose Bowl before.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it's happened.
Yeah, that's going to be the highlight.
Right, and I will be in a state of sadness, as I'm pretty sure my beloved Illini are going to get boat raced by South Carolina. That team, on paper, just looks superior on every level. And I love my 9-3 Illini, and the fact that they won 9 games is a delight. But I also know where Illinois is with its kind of build and where it's trying to go. And I know where South Carolina is with the, you know, SEC freshman of the year quarterback, do everything kind of guy, and to a defensive front in South Carolina that even with their first round draft pick edge rusher opting out for the draft, still has somewhere in the neighborhood of like 20 some sacks between them all. Like, it's going to be a tough day for Illinois, yeah. But hey, they're there. You don't apologize for making it. I will probably say something along the lines of, how the hell did we win 9 games when I watch that game on Tuesday, afternoon.
And you got to keep it in context. South Carolina is one of the teams that feels like they were slighted out of the CFP. So they may come in there with a chip on their shoulder, and that's not going to bode well.
Yeah, they won 6 in a row, like rightfully so. Like, they are the hottest team in college football. It is honestly, of the 3 SEC teams that Illinois could have drawn out of that game, we got the worst matchup for us. I really wanted either Alabama or Ole Miss. Alabama because they were going to opt out like crazy, or Ole Miss just because Lane Kiffin and Brett Bielema had been talking shit back and forth this whole time. And so it was just highly entertaining. So, yeah, there you go, folks. There's your college football. By the way, not even a little bit sad or sorry for media darling Deion Sanders and his Colorado team getting boat raced by BYU Saturday. That made me smile
because
I'm so tired. I'm just tired. Like, Travis Hunter is going to make a lot of money in the pros. He really is. He's going to be amazing. Shedeur Sanders is going to make a ton of money in the pros. Terrific. But I just got tired of hearing about it. And I get it. He's news and people listen, but like, stop. And I don't know. It's insane. I will say the best bowl of bowl season out of the gimmick bowls is the Pop-Tarts Bowl. The Pop-Tart Bowl wins hands down. RIP cinnamon roll flavored Pop-Tart. We knew you well. You sacrificed for the greater good, and I love it. So
that was a hell of a game. And Navy beating Oklahoma. That's a high watermark for Navy there.
Yeah, there were so many games where I was watching and I was like, was Iowa State coming back to beat Miami by a point? Now everybody's questioning why. God, what's that? Cam Ward, is that his name? Their quarterback for Miami. He set the single season NCAA touchdown passing record and then sat out the second half. But in Iowa State, comes back, scores with about a minute to go. Backup quarterback comes in, can't get it done. You had Colorado get boat raced. You hate to see it. You hate to see it.
The other game that was really good was USC and Texas A&M was a really good game. That was Las Vegas Bowl.
Vandy getting the win over Georgia Tech. That was a good game. Georgia Tech was one of those teams that had a little bit of a chip on its shoulder. So just a lot of really good, fun stuff. I'm happy for the Big Ten to get some wins over these SEC schools because it was getting tired. It gets tired every year arguing over the cell. So. All right. And with that, 16 and a half minutes into the show, we'll take our first commercial break and then we'll actually talk some hockey. We got to talk. Dave is chomping at the bit. I know he's chomping at the bit because we got a big return in hockey. Happened yesterday. And he wants to talk all about it. We're going to let him because he deserves it. Fan that he is. So stick around. We'll be right back. You're listening to Hockey Talk here on the Chairshot Radio Network, a part of the Chairshot.com.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to Hockey Talk here on the Chairshot Radio Network, a part of thechairshot.com. Patrick O'Dowd, David Ungar here, basically doing a sports chat. And, Dave, I got to tell you, we're going to talk hockey, but I enjoy our sports chats. I enjoy talking other sports with you. It's fun.
It is. And let us not lose sight of the big thing today for me. If the Commanders win tonight, they're in the playoffs. I mean, that is
significant. That is significant for you. Good job. I don't know what the football playoffs are. Here's the thing. Okay, I promise hockey is coming, everybody. But this is my problem with all of my professional sports teams right now. Is it's tough to stay invested when everything is bad across the board. And so, like, as a Bears fan, as I sit here and watch Bo fucking Nix like doing well, and oh god, I can't remember the other guy, but there's another rookie quarterback who's just. They're having strong years.
Some guy named Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, Jaden Daniels, that guy. And I'm not, and it's funny, the meme is evergreen that the Bears have not won a game since the Commanders lost. The Hail Mary. But, I mean, if I'm Caleb Williams, and I'm Caleb Williams' agent, I'm holding out. That dude got sacked, like, I don't even know how many times. He got sacked 7 times in the embarrassment of a game against Seattle. And that's just the norm for him and the Bears. Like, if he gets sacked 4 times in a game, that's a win for the Bears' offensive line because they're terrible. And I don't know what the fuck their general manager, like, the Poles was doing. I get it. You go all in to get your quarterback, and then you just get him beat to a pulp day in and day out. And the thing is, and this is what's worth noting with Caleb Williams, Dave. Until this game against Seattle, he hadn't thrown an interception in like 8 games. Like, he's getting the shit beat out of him. He's throwing for more yards than any rookie quarterback. He's doing everything he can. He is literally carrying the team on his shoulders. And if he has anybody to give him time in a pocket, I don't know if the Bears are going to win the Super Bowl or any shit like that, but maybe they win some games.
Well, I don't think I've ever seen, in all the years I've been watching football, a team collapse like Chicago has based off of one play, one game. Because they're but for a miracle away from being 5-2. And they should have been 5. Well, I say they should have been 5-2, but the reality is they should never have been in that game in the first place. And I think we both know that. But,
well, that's the thing. The Bears have been such a smoke and mirrors team. Like, when they got off to that start and everybody's like, oh, watch out for the Bears. I was like, no. Like, let's stop. Let's take a moment.
You are right. Caleb Williams is not the problem in Chicago. I think the season has probably worn him down, and who could blame him at this point? But yeah, they've got all this talent. They're that Eberflus, man. He really did not help them at all because he was not a good coach. Didn't have them prepared. When the free fall started, he wasn't doing the right things. They've had some bad luck. Of course, having the field goal blocked in Green Bay was a big problem. They've had a lot of freaky things that have happened to them, but yeah, I feel for you, buddy. I mean, that one play sent both of our seasons in different directions.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a reason that at the end of the game this past Thursday, you could hear chants of sell the team, because the ownership is it starts at the ownership level and then trickles down. They don't know what they're doing.
3 points.
They have no fucking clue. And I'm sorry if you're telling me that Pete Carroll wants to coach the Bears, tell me what out of that 9 point that 6 point performance that says, hey, mayhaps we should hire that guy. I mean, PC Tunney sent me a meme, and then I sent you a similar one. PC Tunney sent me a meme of Seattle Mariners beating the Chicago White Sox this year 6-3 back in July. I sent you one of my St. Louis Blues winning a game over the Nashville Predators. They won 7-4. These two teams couldn't even outscore hockey and baseball.
That's as good a segue as you're going
to
get.
So let's shift to some good news. And we're going to talk about the good news that reached Dave and his beloved Washington Capitals, as he's been out for what, a month or so? 5 weeks, so a little bit long, a month and a half. We have the return of one Alexander Ovechkin to the lineup. He came back on Saturday the 28th and promptly scored an empty net goal, continuing his chase for Gretzky. The Washington Capitals find themselves 1 point behind the New Jersey Devils. And if you consider where they were when Ovi went down, and we talked about this, the thing that's different with your Caps this year, and why I will hear none of it, even when you have an embarrassing loss to a shitty team like the Blackhawks, I will have none of it, because in Ovechkin's absence, your veteran leader's absence, you were either in first, you fluctuated between first, second, and maybe third in the Metropolitan Division throughout those 5 weeks. And for a lot of it, you were in first. And now you're only a point behind the New Jersey Devils, and you get a guy who was on fire. I don't even really want to talk about the chase for Gretzky. Like, he's 28 goals away, I think is what you said. You did some research ahead of time. And that's possible this season. I mean, I don't know if it's probable, but, you know, at the rate he was scoring, he was really chunking them together. I think it's more how resilient and how tough is this Washington Capitol team that they were able to weather. And again, I get it. Ovi isn't the guy he was even 5 years ago. But you know what? He was a big loss. He was a big scoring loss for your team. And they kept going. They kept going. They're 24-9-2.
He's within 25 of Gretzky now, of tying Wayne. That's actually doable this year. If he gets back on the pace he was earlier, you could see the record tied or broken this year. Yeah, like you're saying, they started off those, they had trouble in those first two games, then they started to learn how to play without him. Now, is he what he was, 2010 Alex Ovechkin? Of course not. Is he still a very dangerous scorer? There's nobody with a better slap shot in the league than Alex Ovechkin. Still, to this day, I would die on that hill. He adds another element to a team that learned how to play in his absence, learned how to score in his absence. They had They had the loss against Boston the other day, but that was a tough game. I mean, that was 1-1 till late. Boston got two goals and an empty netter. I'm okay losing to the Bruins. You know, that's there's no shame in that sort of thing. They took it to Toronto, and I know Toronto doesn't have Austin Matthews, but still, you got to win the games when they're there, and they beat up Toronto 5-2. That's pretty emphatic. So yeah, they're in a perfect position to strike. You're saying 1 point and behind New Jersey. That's nothing.
Let's really put into perspective Ovechkin's start to the season, because that goal, he actually tied Connor McMichael for the team leading goals this season. So he was the team leader in goals for a significant portion of his absence. And Connor McMichael takes it over, you know, relatively late.
And I'll say this, I think you got to temper expectations with Ovi for a couple of weeks, because yeah, he came back. He clearly was not at, you know, top speed. He's probably about 75-80% watching him play.
How much ice time did he actually get? I didn't actually see quite
a bit. I don't remember exactly. I mean, I saw him and he didn't get a lot of opportunities to score, because again, you know, when he's on the ice, it doesn't matter how long he's gone. He's the focus of attention. And once the Caps start learning to use him, yeah, you want to do the goals chase, but I think if they shift and use Ovi as a decoy on a lot of things, it's just going to open up opportunities to guys who have proven they can score. Protas has proven he can score. Connor McMichael has had a big breakout year this year. Radish, some of these other guys who have come along. Yeah, once Carberry learns how to manipulate this stuff to the maximum advantage, they're going to be a tough out in the playoffs. Chychrun has been a huge, they need to re-sign him to a long-term extension. I know they got him as a free agent. You don't want to lose him. He is, you know, I mean, he's a hell of a defender. But yeah, I think it's going to take a couple of weeks for him to get back to top speed. But when he does get back to top speed, probably sometime after the Four Nations stuff is done, yeah, watch out, man. These guys are going to be a legit threat to, yeah, I'll say it, they're probably a legit threat to win the cup. I mean, you know, New Jersey is New Jersey. They don't have that experience. They've got a lot of explosiveness, Toronto, Boston, that sort of thing.
I think the other thing that really should be encouraging to you as a Capitals fan is I do think that they've played very good team hockey even before he went down. Like we talked about this, the pressure isn't on Alex Ovechkin to be the only guy this year. And this, you know, this spate without him really proved it. Reinforces that this team can win without him. And I think makes it easier for him to ease his way back in. Get his skates back underneath him, because they just, you know, you never really missed a beat. And that's a terrific sign as we get to the basically the halfway point of the season, you know, as teams are in the 50s or so with points, the leaders. That's huge. So
yeah, like just looking at Carberry's comments, you know, because Washington went 10-5-1 without him. Carberry knows, he's like, we're gonna get a big, he's like, he's our captain, he's the greatest goal scorer of all time. You could feel it, like you were just waiting for the day when he's gonna come back to the lineup. So you could feel his presence, and that's true. He is the captain. He is right now the second greatest goal scorer of all time. I think at this point, 25 away, that's a question of when, not if, any longer. Right. So yeah, they're really, I mean, they're a great team. I wanted to point out something and get your thoughts on this, because I mean, these guys are the topic of conversation like every week for us lately. And
Winnipeg?
No, the New York Rangers are now dead last in the Metropolitan Division.
Yeah, has happened? Somebody's getting fired. Somebody's getting fired.
Yeah, Laviolette has got to be considered on the hot seat. You know, what do you
like? There's no excuse for this. There's no excuse for dead last. I mean, it's futility. Yeah, it's
you're talking, I mean,
it's futility. It's futility. Like, what do you even do? Like, they suck. They suck. They're just straight up terrible.
I mean, I'm just looking at the wild card. The Rangers are, well, I mean, that's the bad thing about this. They're, as bad as they are, they're 5 points out of the last wild card, because Ottawa has got 38.
Right. Well, okay, but here's why. Okay, because the New York Rangers, they're dead last in the Metropolitan. Their record, though, is 2 games under .500. They got a couple of games on teams like the Islanders and Columbus. They don't go to overtime very much at all. So that's part of the problem. But like, if you look at some of these other teams, like the Sabres are trash, the Red Wings are trash, the Canadiens are trash, like over on the eastern side of things, the Islanders, I don't think the Islanders are going to stay in front of them. I don't think Columbus is going to stay in front of them. Hell, Philadelphia is only 16-16. Like, they're 500.
And I mean,
like,
other than
the bottom half of the Metropolitan, it's pretty bad.
Yeah, the Islanders,
like,
aren't any good.
From the Pens down, because the Pens are at 500, the Pens and Philly are at 500, but then Carolina's, you know, Carolina's 22-13-1, Washington's 24-9-2, Jersey's 24-12-3. So you've got this like top heavy division, and then a lot of just bleh. You know, say what you will about the Western division in this, you know, in the Central, like when you're bad. Like, we're truly bad over here in the Central. Nashville at 11-18. Chicago, 12-22.
Woo.
Like, if you're going to be bad,
San Jose,
earn it. San Jose, 11-22.
Anaheim's not,
like,
much better.
Just be awful.
How are you feeling about your Blues this week? They had an okay week.
They had an okay week. They, you know, they're on a two-game winning streak going into today. If we were to do a New Year's resolution segment, and you know, we did this on Bandwagon Nerds Kayfabe yesterday, where we had some hopes for 2025, and we had some resolution that we put up there for 2025. If I had a hope for the Blue 25, is just be a tough out, you know, steady the ship. I'm not expecting a Craig Berube-esque run starting in January. Like, I don't see that happening. I think we have the right coach, and I think that it's now learning how to play with that coach and then making some talent decisions. You know, we got the Sabres today, so hopefully that's a win. We should beat the Sabres. And then we got the Blackhawks. And again, that should be a win. Granted, it's at Wrigley Field in Chicago, so you can't trust it. But, you know, we've got, I don't know, there's a lot of talent at the prospect level for the Blues. I do think I've conceded this year isn't going to be a step forward. It's a maintenance sort of thing. I just want them to show. You know what I mean? I want them to be a difficult team, because that tells me, it gives me a glimpse of hopefully where they're going. So, yeah, they beat Nashville 7-4. We're a game over 500. This is very much the same as last season, where we're just hovered around 500 all season.
I was watching a stat. Thomas, he's one of your guys' top scorers, right?
Robert Thomas, yep.
He's really benefited from the coaching change, right? I think, like, he's got 7 goals since Montgomery took over.
I think so, yep. I mean, you look at what happened in the first period yesterday. I mean, the Blues had 6 goal scorers, and the first period we scored 5-4. Thomas, Bolduc, Bolduc, Kyrou, and Fowler, 4. Scored 4 goals. I mean, that's the highest scoring period they've had all season. So, and then the rest of the game, we just traded goals. So, you know, we got 3 other goals. Robert Thomas scored 2 in that game. So, it's just, you know, you're seeing some shifts. The defense is generating a little more offense. And they're just, I don't know, I'm hoping that this continues to be a trend in the right direction, where, you know, we get a little more defense turning to offense, and we get some, we just get some positive movement forward. I don't need us to go on a run. I just need to see positive movement going forward.
Man, you know, we're talking about like sports earlier. I'm so conflicted, Pat. Cowboys and Eagles are playing right now. It's like, God, can the earth literally open up?
Can both teams lose?
Can swallow both of these fucking teams at the same time? Cause it's like, I almost have to root for Dallas,
like,
to win. But it's like, I just, yeah, God, it makes me want to throw up in my mouth.
Yeah. This is the benefit of not caring. I just get to watch the games. I get to watch the games for what they are. I get to sit back and relax. I don't have to get my panties in a bunch over anything. I just get to enjoy it. Now, it won't happen unless it gets to the national title game. If Ohio State and Notre Dame were to make it to the national championship game, that would be a scenario. It would be like, can both teams, because God, I don't, and both of those fan bases are insufferable enough as it is. I don't need them to help. So,
I could use the Panthers just to and just eliminate all suspense.
Take all the drama out.
Yeah, take all the drama out.
Yeah, sometimes you just you want the drama to go away. That's always the hope. Yeah,
there's
so,
somebody who said, sure, I want to earn it, but at the same time, it's all right. You know, if it doesn't have to be earned, then whatever. That's fine.
Well, that's a good point. All right. Well, here's the one last sports related thing. Yesterday was the baseball winter solstice. So happy baseball winter solstice. That was exactly halfway between the last out of the World Series and the first pitch of the 2025 baseball season. No expectations for the Cardinals this year.
Or the Nationals.
So there we go.
And the Orioles probably took a step back, but
yeah, at least they're a solid franchise. You know what I mean? Like you've got a good minor league system. So I'm not a loss like that hurts, but also you're still a really good team. So we'll see what happens.
I mean, I expect the Nats are a team on the come up. I think the rebuilding is probably close to being done and they start to try and compete for
must be nice.
The Cardinals must be nice. They'll be fine, Pat, or not.
No. Well, they're not this year. So because all right. Last thing. Again, sorry about the minimal hockey talk the last 2 weeks on the hockey talk show. We'll change it to sports talk.
That's what I was thinking. We need to change this to sports talk.
Maybe we do. Maybe we do and we expand on what we talk about. But the thing about the St. Louis Cardinals
in a state of
I'm just saying, like there's a lot of possibility there. So the problem with the Cardinals right now is their front office. So John Mozeliak, who took over after Walt Jocketty left, got the Cardinals to get the Cardinals to a World Series, their last World Series victory, though that was over a decade now, has kind of just sort of rested on what he did instead of what he's been doing. And he won't leave. He won't leave. It's like, to give you a Disney comparison, he's Bob Iger. He won't go away. And even this season, it's this weird havesy where he's not the general manager. We've got this new general manager who's a guy we picked up from Tampa who is known for building a strong farm system, like all this stuff. But we're not fully giving him the reins. So it's like, what are we doing? Which is why the Cardinals will be trashed for at least another 3 to 4 years. Like, we are going to be a team not worth thinking about. I actually think the Cardinals are going to be so bad for a while that when they finally start winning again, people are going to be like, oh, I remember the Cardinals. Like, we're going to go through it was a proud franchise that has now fallen. And we're going to then shift to, oh my, look at them go. Good for them. People will like us again because people hate the Cardinals. These days, they think we are insufferable fans too. So we need to drum up some sympathy before we make people tired of us again. That best fans of baseball thing was just the worst thing to ever happen to us. Thanks a lot, McGuire. Okay, we're gonna get out of here, Dave. Before we go, hope you have a wonderful New Year. However you're choosing to spend it, whether it's with family, friends, or whatever. I know I will be here hosting at the O'Dowd household with some friends and family as well, and ringing in the new year, kiddie style, because we've all got young children that shouldn't be staying up till midnight as it is. So it'll be a nice little early New Year's Eve into New Year's Day for us. I will get to watch all of the college football. It will be great.
Yeah, I don't think we've got anything major planned. It's like, at our age, it's like, why go out there in the world and try and fit in with the kids, all the craziness that happens.
I had this
out there.
Disney adult that I am. I had this harebrained thought one time of like, just once, maybe doing Disney World for New Year's. And then I woke up and saw like the crowds at Walt Disney World between Christmas and New Year's are awful. Multiple parks sold out to capacity. It's a nightmare. It doesn't sound like a fun, like that doesn't sound fun.
Like
doesn't sound like a relaxing trip.
My step grandson
at all.
Last thing here, my step grandson, his folks took him to Disneyland Christmas Day, and he texted us and said, "Hey, we just got on Rise of the Resistance in like 20 minutes." I'm like, "Wow, that's amazing!" And I'm like, "Look at my wife." Is like, "Isn't this like the worst day of the year to be there?" And she goes, "This is the day, the one day that Disneyland will actually close the gates because it's so bad." And I'm like,
I've heard Christmas Eve is a great time to go. Actually, Christmas Eve people will go a lot. Or won't go as much for some reason. Like they won't touch Christmas Eve, but they'll touch Christmas Day.
Like we were going to go for Christmas Eve. We were supposed to go out to They've got the holiday lights out at the, if you can call it a zoo here in Baker's. They turn the zoo into this big holiday light show. It's a walkthrough. There's thousands upon thousands, 10,000 lights. They got the train that runs through. It's really a cool thing. So we're going out there Christmas Eve. Well, it rained the morning of Christmas Eve. And we get out there and I'm like, hey, where are the lights at? And come to find out, like, my son's in the backseat. He says, they canceled it tonight. I'm like, motherfucker. So we're going to, so they gave us like a rain check and said, we'll just switch it to another night or we'll give you a refund. So we're going to go out there tomorrow, which won't have the same, I mean, it'll still be cool, but it won't be the pre-Christmas thing. But we got to see about 8 raccoons running around the park. That was kind of fun, but.
That's exciting.
Uh-oh.
Cool. All right. Well, we are heading out of here. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Happy New Year. Dave, before we get out of here, tell everybody where they can find you on the ChairShot Radio Network and on the socials, if you so choose.
Well, you can find me at Attitude Ag. That is at Attitude AGG on X and Blue Sky, Facebook.com/Attitude of Aggression, and on Instagram and Threads at Attitude of Aggression, all one word.
Excellent. You can follow me at Wrestling Realist on most of the socials. That is at WrestlingRealist. You can listen to me every Monday, Tuesday, not this Wednesday. There will not be a Greg DeMarco show.
What? No.
On New Year's Day. We are not recording New Year's Eve. Shocker. I know, but that's okay. Just listen to the Bandwagon Nerds New Year's Resolution show a second time. It'll be worth the time. I know it. Ray Cash said some amazing things. We thought it was hilarious and great, and we believe in him. So that's going to do it for this week's edition of Hockey Talk. Make sure to give us a listen. Watch the Winter Classic. I think that's going to be cool. Even though the teams aren't great, Wrigley Field done up like a hockey rink. Two teams that aren't really bitter rivals, but they'll play it out. It'll be a lot of fun. And we'll see you all in the new year. Thank you, everyone, for listening. You have been listening to Hockey Talk here on the ChairShot Radio Network, part of the ChairShot.com.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.